When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to our second show this week where we talk about the Houston Open, more specifically the Texas Children's Houston Open. We're going to get a little nerdy, get a little in-depth with you on this particular episode of the show. Talk a little bit more about model horses for courses, some more derivative statistics that we talk about when we're thinking about players to like this week and reasons why, and not so much focused on kind of the obvious, and we'll try to put it all together for you. Then we have one more show, a shorter show we're going to do right after this recording, actually. We will do one about the LPGA Sport Championship, the Hero Indian Open, and then we're going to touch a little bit on Masters futures in that episode. Just some guys to think about, which we're getting close to the Masters, so you might want to start getting those bets in. Let's start kicking things off here with jumping back into the Texas Children's Houston Open. Again, refresher for everybody who didn't catch the first episode or coming into this fresh. Playing this at Memorial Park Golf Course in the confines of Houston, Texas. This is a Tom Doak design. They don't necessarily credit him with it, but Brooks Koepka was on it as well, and another Doak associate as well. Open for play, really, in 22. Par 70, 7,475 yards. Pretty wide open golf course by at least a comparison to the Florida swing. I mean, Florida golf is notoriously tight. This place is not so much. I mean, there's still trouble. There's still stuff you don't want to hit into, of course, but not to the extent of what you see in Florida, where usually the bad news is water, gator, or stuff you don't want to hit out of. $9.5 million purse, $1.71 million to the winner. And again, 500 FedEx Cup points to the champion. Let's rehash the model top 10 so far. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Aaron Rye, Matt McNealy, Jacob Bridgman's a new entrant into this list who's been playing great lately, Minwoo Lee, Wyndham Clark, Siwoo Kim, Tony Finau, and Keith Mitchell. We've kind of talked about that, what that all means. We've indicated Bridgman's a guy I like this week. I don't think any of these things are particularly shocking, except maybe Bridgman, I guess to a degree, maybe Keith Mitchell, but he has these kind of runs where he gets in and out of this top 10 in our model. He just tends to play well, but he's not the best finisher, and that creates some issues. We talked about horses for courses. Again, I want to keep them on your radar this week because a number of them are on that top 10 list, namely Aaron Rye and Scottie Scheffler. I know it's hard to bet a guy at 4.5 to 1, and I'm not encouraging you to do so, but Aaron Rye sitting there at like 30 to 1 seems like a very interesting play. Now, Aaron Rye is not the longest player in the tour, and that's one thing I really want to underscore in this episode is the play of Memorial Park really, really, really tends to favor guys who hit it long and don't putt so great. That just look at it year after year. Jason Kokrak, long hitter, can't putt, right? I mean, notoriously bad putter. Tony Finau, hits it far, can't putt. Steven Yeager, hits it far, not so good at putting. Scottie Scheffler, until he figured out how to use the mallet putter, long hitter, doesn't putt so good. I mean, still doesn't putt world class, but he's more than good enough with what he does tee to green, right? So if you look at the players who have a good track record here, Alex Noren can't putt for a lick, but he is a great ball striker. Alex Smalley, he's in a good run and plays this course pretty well. I won't say he totally fits that archetype. But if we're thinking about horses for courses, then I think that makes the argument for guys like Aldrich Potgieter at 125 to 1, where he would hate Florida golf because it's so tight and confining. The exact opposite of what he thrived in Mexico. The exact opposite of what he thrived on the Korn Ferry Tour, right? Korn Ferry Tour doesn't play a lot of tight golf courses. They play a lot of courses with relatively light rough and pretty accessible pin locations. They're not trying to make it super hard week to week. That only really happens at the end of the season. Why he thrived. So this is a kind of place where you can do well. I think the theory behind supporting players who don't putt so well is that dope greens are really hard to putt. If you ever played a dope course, I've played a couple. They're not easy to putt. And I consider myself a good putter. They are not easy to putt. You have to have a lot of imagination. You have to have a lot of patience. You could find yourself in bad positions very easily. And then if you try to get a little over aggressive, you could pay a big penalty for it. Kind of like Valspar in that, yeah, strokes gained putting is a big part of the equation of the success here. However, the problem with that is at Valspar, it's more about avoiding three putts and worse than making putts. And you saw that in the scoring. Similar here. It's about avoiding three putts. Don't be a bad lag putter. Don't be a bad putter inside of 5 feet. You know, make those ones you got to make and don't make it worse when you're putting from 40 feet. And everybody kind of has trouble putting these greens. I think that kind of works to the favor of a Podkeeter, of a Jake Knapp. We talked about Jesper Svensson, guy in that 100-to-1 range. We've talked about Rico Hoey. We've talked about, we did not talk about this. I want to give a shout out to Wes Reynolds from formerly of VSiN, one of the best golf handicappers out there. Does a great job thinking about this stuff every week. Stephen Fisk, guy who played so consistently last year on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had racked up fourth places and third places and top fives all over the place because he is a great ball striker. Hits the ball far, not the best putter. We're giving out guys in that 100, you know, 70 to 125 range, I think, are worth looking at. And I don't think it's particularly confusing why. I mean, we're starting to kind of develop a profile of this golf course. It's long, it's not hard to keep it in play. It's not so easy as Mexico, where you can hit almost literally anywhere and keep it in play. And the greens are vexing. There's your equation for this tournament. I hope that is very crystal clear in thinking about this. Again, past champions, Kokrak, Finau, Jaeger. Again, guys who finished in second. Decky's done well here. That ultimate guy who hits the ball great can't putt. I mean, not the longest player. And I don't think you're disqualified if you're an Aaron Rye, who's not the longest hitter, from contending here. I just think you've put yourself in a position where you have even more pressure on your approach play if you are not hitting it 315, 320 off the tee. It's just the way this place plays. Now, I want to kind of bring up some nerdy stuff. This is a little bit more in-depth, and we started talking about this in last week's show, and this is one of the short, this is kind of my short-term model, so I don't call it a model because there's no calculations running here. We're just taking categories of guys and kind of winnowing them out. You see on this graphic here is the three categories I use looking at the last 10 events played on the PGA Tour schedule. I'm looking for guys who are gaining 1.2 strokes per round in the aggregate on the average, guys who are gaining 1.5 strokes per round on quality strokes gained, which is strokes gained total multiplied by the quality of your competition as measured by the official World Golf Ranking field depth. So in the example of a major championship where you get 100 points to the winner, multiply by two. We're moving the decimal place over two to the left and then by two. Okay. So if you're playing fields with OWGR first place points of less than 50, you're actually losing strokes in this multiplication. And if you're playing them above 50, you're gaining them. Simple as that. And then strokes gained on the approach, if you're gaining 0.6 per round over those last 10, because that's telling me, yeah, you may not be putting it great, or maybe you're having trouble hitting the ball off the tee, but you're doing the core competency thing really well. So you may snap out of it. And if you're snapping out of it, that's a good thing. And if you're on all three of these charts, you're someone I love this week. If you're on two of them, I'm really happy, right? So some interesting guys here this week. Again, starting from left to right. We've got in this column, McIlroy, Scheffler, Spahn. We really haven't even talked about JJ Spahn. He's not a short hitter, but I mean, if you look at the playoff performance of the players, he was 40, 50 yards behind McIlroy, and that's going to add up over 72 holes. That doesn't mean he can't contend. Obviously, he can, but that puts him behind the eight ball at the price you're getting him. Let's put it that way. Alex Smalley, Jacob Bridgman, Danny Walker, Michael Kim, Bronson Burgoon, and Joe Highsmith. Now, half these guys, a little more than half these guys, fall off the list because of quality strokes gained, because the likes of Joe Highsmith, Bronson Burgoon, Michael Kim, although he was close, and Danny Walker's on the list, Jacob Bridgman, they're gaining their strokes against weaker fields. Now, that doesn't mean they should be disqualified from being thought of. I'm just telling you where they're getting their strokes from, right? If you're playing weaker opponents and you gain strokes on them, that shouldn't mean as much, in my opinion, as gaining them in a major caliber field or a players or a signature event, right? The signature events actually get hurt a little bit in terms of their OWGR value just because there aren't as many bodies the way the events get ranked these days. So keep that in mind. But four of the nine carry over to there. And then you look at the strokes gained approach numbers and you see a lot of parallel. Three of the four guys are on there on all three. You know, the top three guys are there on all three columns in the one, two, and three spots. And then strokes gained on the approach, Bronson Berggoen, who had a really nice outing. Limited starts, right? But that makes him tough to model out. Could be a heater kind of situation. He is a Texan guy. So, and he does have a lot of Houston knowledge, which is also kind of interesting. Think about Steve Elkington. He and Elk are fairly tight. Elk lives in the Houston area. Probably has some knowledge to pass on about Memorial Park. So, again, I'm not telling you to go bet a guy. He's probably 250 to 1 or something. But he's on the list, and he does have some Texas ties. So, maybe it's worth considering. That all said, I want to add in some additional things here. Now, this is something I love to look at. I love to look at strokes gained tee to green variance. And I want to look at a guy that's playing well. And I want to look at a guy that's playing well over the last 10 strokes gained tee to green with consistency. I don't want a high variance number. So if you are up and down, I don't necessarily want to bet that over the last 10 events, because that means anything can happen. You could have a great week and you could have a garbage week. Part of that is also where you play, of course, right? You go play in Florida, where we've just been for the last month. You're probably more likely to see those high variance numbers for partially reasons you can't control, right? The golf courses are narrower. The penalties are bigger for missing in a lot of those places. And then you get away from there and you go to Texas, where water really isn't a thing on a lot of golf courses. You go to Charlotte, which is more of a brute force place. You go to New Orleans, which has plenty of water as a team event. But I'm trying to think about places that, Harbortown, tighter place, right? A little bit more like Florida. But there are some more open places to play. And so maybe that kind of evens things out a little bit here. But I'm looking for players who are gaining strokes tee to green. I don't really care as much about your putting most weeks. Putting is a highly variable statistic that can change pretty dramatically based on the size of the greens, the designer of the greens, speed of the greens, weather, where you put the ball, and those things we just can't really account for. So I'm going to take that out of the equation and go, okay, tell me who's playing well tee to green. Those players with low variance in the field are Michael Kim, Henrik Norlander, Taylor Pendrith, who I love here this week, Doug Gim, Max McGreevy, who I think is playing well, and Keith Mitchell. So these guys are gaining tee to green consistently. Now, bunch of them stink at putting, right? And that's your worry. If you're going to put your hard-earned dollars to work on trying to get them a future bet on them home to win this week, you know that's where your trepidation is. So Pendrith, not a great putter, but if he can brute force his way, which he can, just like Jason Kokrak or go figure out your champion, Steven Yeager, very similar kind of guys. Maybe not Bill, but Kokrak, yeah. So go find that. Doug Gim, wildly inconsistent putting-wise. Keith Mitchell, horrible putter on the weekends. Henrik Norlander just seems to find a way to keep his car because he's got a good tee-to-green game. Not so good putter. Michael Kim playing really well, best golf of his life, all around, right? And maybe he's a little tired. I'm wary of Michael Kim for that reason. I liked him in Tampa because I thought maybe he could just power through. Now you're at what, like start five or six in a row. It's a lot of golf. After three in a row, I start to get concerned. So just some guys to think about there. And this full listing is available as a tool for our members at golfnewsnet.com. Join for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, and $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Now, this one is one I love for derivative bets. We started talking about this again in the last show. I'm looking for players who have finished in the top 20 in the last 50 events played on the PGA Tour in 40% or more of their starts. That is a hard number to get to. There are not many players like that. Less than 15 on the PGA Tour. Obviously, a bunch aren't playing this week. But about half of them are. And you get to a Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy level where they're well above 60%. That's why they're obviously favorites. That's part of it. But also that's why they're minus money to be a top 20 bet oftentimes, because they're going to be there. Statistically, they just are. But as you get toward that 40% number, maybe you sneak in a positive. Maybe you sneak in plus money on a Matt McNeely or an Aaron Rye. Certainly an Alex Noren, you can get a decent price on in the top 20 this week. Wyndham Clark, highly variable, depending on where you look, maybe worth shopping around. But again, highly variable. So when you're looking at the statistic, you go, well, for Scheffler and McIlroy, they're almost always there, and you know that. But if you look at Wyndham, you go, well, yeah, 40%, more than 40% of the time he's in the top 20. What's the other 55%? It's awful. Bad. So do you want to bet that? But I think this is a good starting point for thinking about those kinds of derivative bets. If you're just looking for elements of consistency, right? You're just looking for guys to kind of be a backup bet guy, like, sure, you're not going to bet Scheffler and McIlroy in the top 20. It's just not happening. There's no value in it whatsoever. So just trying to set the stage there a little bit. And of course, this is agnostic of course, right? We're not looking for a specific horse for course or top 20 percentages at Memorial Park specifically. We're looking in the main, right? So if you want to look for players who are course specific, you can go look at the last 3 years worth of results and decide that for yourself and try to find some interesting top 20 plays. But I did want to point that out. I think this is an interesting thing to look at, because it kind of sets the groundwork for who the best players are, right? Who they are most consistently in this field. And then you just another way of sorting out everything. Obviously, you see the same two names, well, kind of three, but at least two names over and over and over again, Scheffler and McIlroy, Scheffler and McIlroy, Scheffler and McIlroy. And again, we talked about this in the first show of the week. There is the case to be made to just bet them and walk away. But what fun would that be? And you could bet them in the market without. Now you have some fun. You have some more options. Some potential guys. This is an incorrect graphic, but I do want to point out Corey Condors is a potential player. Kevin Roy as well. We did this last week of trying to talk about guys who are first round strokes gain leaders, potential picks. I don't like it as much for Memorial Park because we just don't have quite as much data. So a lot of guys in this field either played it once or not at all. So I don't want to make those recommendations based on that. But with that graphic will come back for the Texas Open next week with those updated numbers. So with all of that in mind, where do you want to go here, right? We've talked about Scheffler and McIlroy. Rye makes some sense. Ben Woolley's played great golf this year. He's not on any of these graphics. I think he is worth a wager in thinking about, but he's not on any of them. JJ Spahn, 35-1, worth a wager in thinking about. Tony Finau, same, worth a wager and thinking about. Not playing his best golf this year. Clearly likes the golf course, right? This is the second time they have played this thing in March. The first two times they played in November. A little bit different in terms of time of year, a little different wind, a little different weather, a little bit different in terms of softness. Just some differences. Maybe he plays a little bit longer in March, where it's de-thawing, whereas November and October starting to get a little firming up for the fall and the winter months. So keep that in mind, too. I think having more distance is more of an advantage in March than it would have been in the fall. Pendrith at 45-1, I love. Jaeger is going to get a lot of love. I think Alex Smalley is worth a play at this number, the 55-1. I'll probably skip everybody else in that graphic. We'll go a little bit deeper. I love Jake Knapp. He played very well in the Florida swing, shot a 59, played himself pretty well into the players. Obviously, didn't fare as well on the weekend, but I do like his game. Seems to kind of like playing down south a little bit, particularly this part of the country and kind of we'll give him the credit for Mexico. We'll call that. It's not quite America, right? It's a little bit more of a tropical environment where they play at Vedanta Vallarta, but I still think it's worth a consideration that he might like that kind of corridor. Going to list a little bit more. Some people are going to bet Kitayama. Nikolai Højgaard, I think, he's playing good golf, and he really showed up well in our comparison of your last 50 events strokes gained versus your last 10. Big difference in the positive in a good way. I think he's worth at least a consideration. I've talked about Matty Schmid liking his number here this week. Other than that, I'm probably going to stay away from this particular grouping of players. I do want to have something on Aldrich Podgaiter this week. I think it's worth a play. And then I also do like Ryan Gerard's game quite a bit. I was kind of tempted to go after Nico Echeverria, maybe even Ricky Fowler. I just don't think there's a lot of value in Fowler's short game capacity. Matt McCarty has quickly become a guy who's basically unbettable, even though he's a PGA Tour winner. And something is wrong there, so I'm just going to stay away from him for future consideration. One guy on this list I haven't even really thought about, but I will look at Ryan Fox. I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit. He hits the ball so hard. Hits it really long. I think there's a benefit to him this week, at least considering him. Maybe you want to throw a first-round leader play on him because of that reason, but I'll put that out there. Ryohei Setsuna, do you want to say it again? He is playing good golf. I would not bet him, but he is playing good golf. Stephen Fisk at that 185 number really, really interests me because he has the capacity to be really good on this tour. He could be a consistent player, just gains tons of strokes and just makes a lot of money, stays around for a really long time. Toasty was close here last year. Not that I'm encouraging you to bet him. Henrik Norlander at 300-1. Again, guy that kind of fits this place a little bit. He fits the variance model. Can't putt for a lick, but maybe he's got to look at for a top 10 or a top 20 bet. Maybe you put an each way on him if you're overseas, or if you want to do a win in the top 5 or a win in the top 10 here in the States. Look at that. I was wrong on Kevin Roy last week. Apologies for that. Sometimes those things happen, maybe a little premature in getting him there. I think the numbers indicate he can do this, but it didn't plan out that way last week at Innisbrook. So sometimes that happens. I've seen people suggest Carl Phillips as a play here. I can buy in that too. I think Florida golf is really off-putting for younger players. I think it's off-putting for most players, to be honest with you. I think you have to be a certain breed to be comfortable with it naturally. Either you live there, you grew up there, or you just play a lot of tournament golf there. That's how you get comfortable playing tight golf courses like that. Compared to up here, where I live in the D.C. area, it's claustrophobic playing golf down there. It's just something you have to get comfortable with. Houston's not going to be that way. Maybe Carl Phillips is at least worth a thought this week. All right, that's going to do it for us on this episode, the second episode of the week of The Press. Thank you so much for watching or listening. If you catch us on the podcast, do so on your favorite podcasting platform. Check us out on YouTube if you just listen to podcasts there. We have a channel called Golf News Net Radio, GNN Radio. Find us there and listen to all of our podcasts, including this one, audio only. Or you can subscribe to the video version, which is our YouTube channel, Golf News Net. Watch this show and all of our lineup on Golf News Net TV, which is available on the GNN app for Roku and Amazon Fire, as well as on Zeem, Freecast, and Free Live Sports. A couple more things coming down the pipe there that we'll tell you about soon. We get the second part of the Texas two-step next week with the Valero Texas Open. The Masters is close. We're going to talk about that in the final episode of the week, which will be the shortest episode of the three that we do. We'll talk about the LPGA's Ford Championship, the Hero Indian Open, one of my kind of weird favorite tournaments, cult favorite tournaments of the year, and then touch on those Masters futures a little bit. You can join Golf News Net for $40 for a year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to my modeling, all my picks, everything that we do, make all that data available for you. It's a great value if you're just kind of looking to get your feet wet. And here to answer your questions all the time. I had someone who tried out the membership and called me and was like, man, this is just too complicated. There's just too much data to kind of figure out. And I said, well, I understand that and I appreciate that. If you ever have a question and this extends to you, get a hold of me, DM me, email me. I'm happy to talk golf with you, happy to work through numbers with you. Maybe not give you the full answers if you're not a GNM member, which I would encourage you to be, but I'm happy to help as best I can and get you on the right path to the bets that you're making. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks so much for watching. We'll talk to you next time on The